I think it's just a matter of people are like, I'm following you because I want you to post about jewelry. And if you're not posting about jewelry, I don't want it, you know? But at first I was like, oh, well, I guess I won't be posting any personal stuff. And I was just like, that's stupid. Why would
Let's
I
be real. The
stop?
next sentence was probably F
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely
that.
was.
Everyone, welcome to the SOB Marketing Podcast, where we celebrate the SOB that you are. And if you haven't figured it out yet, we mean small-owned business. We don't mean SOB. Listen, we know that as a small business owner, you are working hard on the daily to keep your business fully operational while trying to promote it. And while some days it may feel like the business is owning you, if we're being honest with each other, I bet you would admit that you wouldn't give up the insanity for anything. Our commitment here at the SOB Marketing Podcast is to give you the real talk, what works when it comes to advertising, marketing, promoting your business, and then what doesn't really work. And Chelsea and I promise to always keep the conversation real. All right, welcome back to another episode of the SOB Marketing Podcast. SOB as in small owned business, y'all. We are not calling you son of a biscuits around here, okay? So I am here with my beautiful sister, Chelsea, who happens to be a marketing professional by trait as well. And we are the marketing sister duo over at The Season Marketer. So we have a very exciting and great episode ahead because we have a special guest with us, the one, the only Ray Sumlin from the Design Demon. Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you think maybe, I'm sure people who have listened to this podcast know about you because I talk about you all the time. I love your earrings. I'm not wearing a pair right now just because I have headphones on. But could you take a second and just talk a little bit about who you are, a little bit background about your small business and your story?
Yeah. So as I said, my name is Ray. My business is the Design Demon. And for the most part, I do handmade acrylic jewelry, all that fun stuff. And I'm not veering off of that, but soon it won't only be jewelry, so that's exciting.
Did we just get a big like news flash
right there, newest, you know? but yeah, I started not as a jewelry business either, which is entertaining, but I used to be a graphic designer in my day job. My first job out of college was working in the art department of a screen printing like t-shirt place. And so I got really into like customization and just like working with small businesses and all of that fun stuff that comes with working at a t-shirt company. But from there, I did a lot of like branding and marketing. And my last graphic design day job that I had was for a travel magazine. And it's not nearly as glamorous as it sounds.
Graphic design is not to me, period. So just know that.
Good. But no, I did a lot of just kind of cut and paste or copy and paste, very cut and dry kind of ads, nothing super fun. And I was like, this is really making me sad. And I know I can create more fun things. I think a couple of times I slid in like, oh, what if we did this ad to my art director? And he was like, absolutely not. And I'm like, cool. Just wanted to try. So I realized I needed some sort of creative outlet for all the ideas I had in my head. And so that's when I started Design Demon, which again, was not supposed to be jewelry. It was all like digital art and stickers and stuff like that. And then gradually I got back into jewelry from a hobby that I had when I was a kid. I'm like, no, I actually really like doing this. So that's kind of the background of how it became what it is now.
Ray, I want to say something that's so interesting about this. So it's, you know, I have a full-time job in healthcare marketing, which I can so relate to you because it is not glamorous. Okay. It's very like, you know, and Chelsea knows this because she did healthcare marketing too. It's just very cut and dry. And there's only so much, and I get it. You can be creative in some aspects, but for the most part, when you're
promoting specialists and doctors and stuff. It's kind of, you know, the same thing. So when I started the Seasoned Marketer, what was interesting is I was looking for a creative outlet as well. And so I feel like if anything, and you guys are going to get, you listeners are going to get a lot of nuggets, you know, to kind of act on today. And I think you're going to learn a lot from Ray's story here in the business that she's built, a very successful business, by the way, that's still continually growing. But I think that if anything, take that one piece of nugget and just tell yourself, if you're feeling that your day job is not really a source of inspiration for you, then use your free time to go back to some of the things that you like doing when you were a kid. Jewelry making, right? I know for me, we used to get the camera all the time. My brother and I used to pretend we were news reporters. So camera for me, I was like, oh, what can I do? You know, let me learn how to videotape or something. But so let that be a lesson that, you know, where you're at today doesn't have to necessarily be where you're going to be at a year from now, if you just go on this discovery mode, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think my, my friends who are still kind of like, oh, well, it's so nice that you get to do that. You know, I'm still stuck in my whatever 9 to 5. I'm like, you can still do it too. I mean, you don't have to do it to a full-time business level like I am now, but like, if it makes you happy, just do it. Like, you're doing it anyway. If one of my best friends is really talented with making her own clothes and like crocheting and stuff like that. And she's like, I just don't know if I want to like post about it online. I'm like, you're literally already making it. Like, if you actually want some sort of community online to be like, hey, this is what I made today, do it. You don't have to be paid for it. You can just do whatever you want. If it ends up being something that you can actually monetize, that's great. But at the end of the day, if it takes you out of that like stress of your 9 to 5 and it's like, oh, like I can talk to this random person I met online about what colors I should use for an apron. I don't know. But if it works, it works, you know.
I think it's hard. And Chelsea, do you agree with this? It's hard for people to kind of sit in the middle of things. So like we have this propensity to want to put ourselves in buckets and to give ourselves descriptors, right? And so like professional Vivian, I remember, okay, I'm a, you know, executive marketing professional. Can I really post something that's not related to that? And then what if people from work see it and it's going to be really awkward? So I'd imagine, Ray, you probably had the same kind of hang up when you were starting to launch Design Demon. I mean, you were known as a graphic designer. What experience did you have in making acrylic earrings, you know? So how do you kind of like get over that hump?
Of professional versus the business?
Well, just kind of like not feeling like you're quite there, right? So like you probably didn't feel like you were quite a jewelry maker, quote unquote, whatever that, you know, yet, but you're like, how do I show up on social media like your friend? Okay, I'm making this, but like, I'm not a dressmaker. Like, who am I to post my stuff and share it with people?
I think being a graphic designer kind of helped with the, what's the word I'm looking for? The vulnerability. It helps with the vulnerability of like, this is what I made. I hope you like it, you know, because, you know, you go through my first like intern graphic design job I had was you literally, this is what I made for the projects that I've been given to the entire art team. So that's other interns, that's the paid designers, that's the assistant and art director, like everyone. And they all will be like, oh, like maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. And it's just a lot of history that I had of, I'm okay with showing this. I know it might not be the best thing, but, you know, there's only growth from here. I can't make anything worse than this, hopefully. So I think that helped with like, hey, I'm going to do this now. If you like it, let me know. If you don't, also let me know. And it was a little awkward at first of like sharing with my friends, like, hey, like, give me some love, please. You know, it definitely was slow. And I do think a lot of people were like, oh, she's trying the small business thing, you know, like that whole like, I don't want to like, I do feel like a lot of people that I grew up with that were still following me online, whatever, were kind of in that mindset. But for me, I just had to be like, listen, I can't post this, or I can't stop myself from posting this stuff because I'm worried about how other people are going to perceive it. You know, I just got to do what I want to do, and hopefully I'll find people who like it. Hopefully people will give me their honest feedback, and then I can like learn and grow from there. So I think for me, to answer your question, it was just more so of like by ripping that Band-Aid off and letting what happens, basically.
I'm so glad that you started talking about all of that, because that's a perfect segue into what we want to talk about in this episode, which is branding and authenticity and just sticking true to who you are, designing what you want, and how to find and build that community of people who want to see what you're creating. Because let me tell you, your products in general speak to me so much. Let me tell you, there's something about wearing coffin earrings that say drop dead that really do it for me. Okay.
So that's why we're friends.
Exactly. I think, and that's why when we discussed bringing you on, we really wanted you to come on because you've done such an amazing job at creating your community and building your authenticity and your brand that we really wanted to hear your process and how this happened for you and all of the little nuggets, like Vivian said earlier, that you can share with all the small business owners that are listening now. I do also want to make a little comment, though. I find it really interesting how both of you are talking about, you know, it's kind of weird when you're starting out to post on social media and stuff like that. I feel like that is such a generational thing too, though, because for my generation, like for Gen Z, it's not weird anymore. Like all of us have 20 million different accounts that we're posting about 20 million different things. I feel like now it has become so much easier, one, to not have that stigma of, oh, that person's trying to do the small business thing, like you were saying. I feel like that stigma is starting to go away. And also people are just doing whatever they want on social media now. So I feel like it's starting to get a little bit easier.
Yeah. It probably is. I do know, I will say, and I want to encourage everybody that's listening to go. And in order for this conversation to make sense, especially what Chelsea was just saying about the type of jewelry that Ray is creating, go and visit her Instagram page, because she has that entire page splashed with all of her earrings. And you'll see just how unique and different they are, because I do think that there's something there about, like, Ray, you're not talking to everybody, right? You're talking to a very specific group of people, and that's the community that you've wanted and so specifically have built. And then Chelsea, when you're saying the generational thing, I will partially agree to that. I will tell you this personally, and I can only speak for myself. I think the hangup that I had was, for one, I come from a very, it's weird being in that, I don't know, that kind of like professional setting and then having to turn that off and then go and start something. But I also was super hypersensitive to the fact that I did have somewhat of a vision in my head, and I was trying to protect it. And I was like, I don't want people saying stuff to me that's going to, you know, like my first YouTube videos were so bad that if I had listened to anybody, I mean, I wouldn't be, you know, here a couple years later. And so that's my thing, is I almost feel like it's your responsibility if you have a vision or you have an inkling of something that you're interested in, to kind of insulate it and protect it so that the naysayers, the people that are on the sidelines, like you said, Ray, you have people that are still like, oh, well, I want to one day do that. Okay, well, you can. It just means you're going to have to be awkward at it for a little while until you figure out what exactly you want to do. But you have the same capability to build something from zero, to build it up.
I will say, on the note of like the professionalism and like shutting it off, there was a time where I was the exact same way, even before the whole travel magazine company I had or I worked for. There was a time where I was like, okay, well, this is professional me, and this is Rachel, you know, not Ray. And like, having to go from,
is your,
you know,
name Rachel?
A completely different. Yeah, my full name's Rachel.
I just, oh my goodness.
I know.
I love it.
People are like, what? When I first moved here, I would introduce myself as Rachel. And then eventually I was like, I don't want people calling me that anymore. My entire family would call me Ray, all that stuff. My husband calls me Ray. My mother-in-law calls me Ray more often than not. I'm like, I'm not Rachel anymore. I am Ray. Thank you. Nice to meet you. But you know, my boss from the travel magazine will still be like, hey, Rachel, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, that's right. But all of that to say, I had like, you know, my professional and my non-professional personas, you know, separate, like you were saying, but eventually I was just like, this is silly. Why they hired me for a reason. I have a personality. I'm not just another cog in the machine, you know? So eventually I was just like, I can be, and I think that might be another thing, kind of like what Chelsea would say. I'm like a millennial. I'm a 94 baby. Yeah. So I'm at the very end of millennial. So I think that's kind of where the generation kind of swaps again of like, you can still be professional and have a relatively chill persona to you. You know, even my brother works for a super like Fortune 500 tech company, but everyone on their team is like in their early 30s, you know? And so all of them are like, hey, like, we're all nerds who like video games. So right. We're not going to put on this persona of like, yeah, button up tie, you know, like we're going to get the job done. We know we are, we're really good at what we do, but we don't have to be like someone completely different because we're at work, you know? But I do think that that mindset is what helped me make the stuff that I want to make, because I'm like, I can still be, I am a professional designer, professional jewelry maker, but I don't have to be like, oh, well, these are the stones that I used, and this is the gold on gold on gold on gold, because that's what everyone's going to wear, which I like that jewelry. I need to make that clear. But it was easier for me to be like, okay, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something a little quirky. I know that the people exist because I exist. I'm not that girl, you know, I'm not the it girl. Like, there are people who have the exact same personality as I do everywhere, and I'm going to find them, just like Chelsea. So yeah, all of that to say, it's easier to figure out what you want to do professionally and with your own small business if you just are like, this is who I am. I don't need to, you know, be a different person because it's my job.
I love that. I mean, that's a great point. And I'm going to add that on to key points of why being authentic is important as a small business owner. Getting into the meat of this conversation, though, we also are going to talk about how being authentic is going to help you build your community. It's going to help you create unique products and services that are going to help you stand out as your own small business. It's going to help you feel content, feel happy about what you're doing. You're going to get less burnt out. And honestly, it's going to be the thing that makes you successful. Because if you're doing what you want to do, being authentic to who you are, you're going to find your people and you're going to find success.
So I do have a very specific question in regards to that. Right. So there are a couple different, I think, ideologies when you approach something like this. So when you were tinkering with starting to create earrings, were you creating earrings that you liked, like for yourself, or were you very specifically like, this is the type of person I want to buy my product, so therefore I'm going to make earrings that speak to them? Or is it both?
It's both. Actually, when I very, very first started making jewelry, I was working with resin. And so you could only make whatever molds there were. I tried to kind of cheat the system and like use molds that weren't necessarily for earrings and just turn them into earrings, which is kind of where coffin earrings started, because I used to make coffin earrings when I was doing resin. And I just brought it back this year. But 3 years of not making coffin earrings, I felt like I was going crazy. But I would make whatever I could. Like, the things that I still liked making were still being produced. But, you know, I could only make certain things, all of that. But when I was starting to work with acrylic, I was like, oh, I can design whatever I want. It's kind of like the world is your oyster, but you're overwhelmed by it. Because you're just like, oh, the world is my oyster. What do I want to do? And so from there, I was just like, well, like, this could be cool. And I thought I was, and I still kind of am, but I thought I was really hitting like the Y2K kind of fashion. And like, you know, people who were younger than me was what I thought was the group that was purchasing from me. What I really ended up understanding were it's mostly people who are my age and a little older, around the like 25 to 35 age gap or age range. That's who was purchasing from me. lots of emo people, lots of people who still probably shot a Hot Topic. That's me. But I was forcing this. Yeah, that's me. But I was forcing this, like, oh, well, no, I need to make some, like, wacky, like, limited to kind of stuff and just do, like, these wonky shapes that are, like, bright pink and stuff like that. I still liked that stuff. But it was more so me forcing, like, oh, I think this is what the people want from me. And so just making whatever I wanted. I still love bright pink. Pink is my favorite color. But it doesn't have to be, like, all Barbie core all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was something that took me a while to learn. And I truly do think that probably about summer of last year is as early as I started realizing that, or as late as I started realizing that. So it did take a while to answer your question.
There is something I want to say here, because if you are a service-based business that's listening to this and you're thinking, oh, well, she sells product, like it's very different in service-based, it's not, because let me tell you, what ends up happening so many times is sometimes when we're trying to sell something to someone, it's a problem or an issue that we think we've identified for that specific consumer or that person, right? Our target audience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's not the problem they're having, right? So sometimes the problem is actually before or after or somewhere in the middle. And so I think it's so important to what you just said, when you're always going to have an inkling that maybe you're going to be for certain people. But then when you go back and you look at what's actually happening, it made it easier for you, because you're like, well, why am I trying to fit like a square peg in a round hole, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I enjoy doing this. That also happens to be, you know, my target market, and the people that are wanting to buy, they like the same things I do. So, you know, I can still dabble in this, but I don't have to spend as much time doing it as I thought. So I love that. Across the board in all industries, I think that's super effective way to go about just kind of looking at things. Y'all, look at what is actually going on in your business.
Look at your data. That's what it is. It's looking at your data. It's looking at what's going on.
It's because you're a nerd, Chelsea.
Whatever.
A nerd that still shops at Hot Topic, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
I'm a cool nerd.
Yeah, cool nerd.
I asked Chelsea in a previous episode, what was that thing you were talking about? Those little figurines that have the bobbly heads.
Funko Pops?
Yes. I had asked her, I was like, are you saying Funko or Fungo?
Yes. That's a Funko Pop.
I am looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just on the shelf above my head.
She's trying to explain it to me, and I'm asking her, I'm like, wait, what word are you saying? I'm like, clearly I'm not schooled in Funko Pops.
No.
Get up with it, Vivian. Okay.
That's why I hang out with y'all.
True. I really want to know, Ray, what is your process for coming up with new designs? Like, I know we just discussed how you've changed your products into, you know, more suited for the emo girls like me, I know. But like, what's your process with your new designs? How do you come up with, like, how did you come up with the coffin earrings?
So one of my, this is a multi-laned traffic idea. So one of the things that I used to love doing back when Twitter was Twitter and not X was I would see these posts that would just really make me mad. Or just like, women need to do this. Or like, if you do this, you're wrong. And so I would retweet it and I would be like, no, with a heart. Right? I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not the only one who did that. A lot of people did that. So that inspired the Valentine's Day 2022, I think, design of a red heart that says no in the center. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It says what on the center?
No. It just says no. It's a heart that says no. It's like a conversation. The idea was that it's a conversation heart. And so that's been one of my most popular designs. Literally since the day I made them, people love them. I can't blame y'all. I love it too. And so I've been trying to work with, like, okay, well, what other things can I make with this? Like, what other random phrases can I make that's not just like, I love you and stuff like that? And so from there, I was like, well, I really like to curse. There's a term called grawlix, like G-R-A-W-L-I-X. And it's when someone says a curse word, but it's translated into just like a random assortment of symbols. Kind of like what Instagram captions will do. If you curse, it'll just be like bleep, and it'll be like exclamation part, hashtag, the random symbols. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do that. So I did it. It sold like crap. No one understood it. I'm like, awesome, cool.
Except for the corporate girlies over here. I understand because I'm like, that's the only way I'm allowed to cuss in like a corporate setting.
I called it the four-letter word earrings. And so many people were like, what?
What is it?
I'm like, oh. Never mind.
Not my target audience.
One time I was wearing a Donald Duck sweatshirt and the sleeves have random symbols on it. And so I wore the sweatshirt with the Grawlix hearts to Disney. And people were like, I like your Donald Duck earrings. I'm like, okay, now you get it. Thanks. I decided to stop making those because no one was buying them. But Valentine's Day this past year came around. I'm like, okay, I know I want to do like a more emo thing. I saw the term Valoween on Pinterest. I'm like, I love that. And so I was like, I'm going to make a spooky, like gothic romance kind of thing. And I was like, coffins. I can do coffins again. I wanted to do more of the like conversation heart type pieces. And so I was like, I can make conversation coffins. And so that's where, like, you know, you can have the, no, you can be like, drop dead. But you can also be like, no, really, though, drop dead. Here's a coffin for you. So that's kind of the thought process behind that design.
I have to say, I have so many of your Valoween earrings or just products in general, because I think I bought like a mirror. I think. Was it that says haunt me?
Bite me. Well, you have haunt me.
Bite me.
Yeah,
I have the haunt me earring. I have the mirror that says bite me. I have the coffins that say drop dead. Like, this is really, I am her brand evangelist, okay?
Evangelist.
If you have any questions about any of her products, I got you because I have so many of them. I have your bi earrings. That you don't make anymore.
Yeah, the arches.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the arches.
You bought me the last pair I had. I remember that. You were like,
don't you have some that say baddie too on it?
Yes, I have baddie earrings.
Yeah, baddie. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which I wore those to a concert, to an Arlie concert. And I actually, Maya and I saw him out on the street and we like followed him until we got his attention. And I made him talk to us. And he was like, no, they're not baddie, they're brutal. Because he said, oh, I love your Olivia Rodrigo earrings. And I was like, no. I was like, actually, this is a local artist. It's
You're
not
like,
Olivia
Rodrigo.
I'm going
to tell Ray that you said that.
So I love Olivia Rodrigo. I'm not going to lie. I do. I had not listened to her by the time I had made the brutal earrings. I just wanted to play with the because for those who don't know, the baddie earrings I have are in the classic 90s Barbie font. So from far away, you're like, oh, they say Barbie, but no, they say baddie. So I wanted to make like an edgy version of it. And so that's where brutal came from. And I'm like, well, I don't want it to look exactly the same. So I did a lowercase b instead of an uppercase b. You want to know who has a really popular song that spells brutal with a lowercase b? Olivia Rodrigo. Come to find out. I'm like, oh.
So, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so they're not purposefully Olivia Rodrigo, but I can definitely see how he was confused with
that. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you're not a goth chic person like Chelsea out there who owns every single one of Ray's earrings, I can tell you if you're more my age group, a little over 40, what I love is that you are so particular about what you're putting out there. So you're just not creating these designs and saying, ooh, crossing my fingers, I hope it works, but you're very detailed about where you're going with the design as far as like the fonts you're using and what your target audience may like. The other component to this is the fact that you create stuff that can be so versatile. So for me, like I know the pair of earrings that I have from you are ones that are, they have these little like hoops and then it has a heart in the center of it. Well, I can take the heart off and just wear them as the hoop by itself, right? And so when you're creating this, are you trying to give people consideration? Because my what I'm thinking is you came out with a line where actually you can change out the, what do you call the dangly things on there?
The charms.
The charms.
Dangly things, y'all. Okay.
Me as someone outside of it, like, yeah, the charms. And Chelsea as a scissors, like, the charms.
It's because I literally sometimes I'm like, what's that word? Says the person, Chelsea, who did not know what brand evangelist was. Thank you very much. Okay. And look, now you're a brand evangelist for the design demon. Thank you. You're welcome. Your older sister is always teaching you things. All right. So you do
it's circular learning.
That's right. We teach each other. But so you do have a whole line of where you can buy a base or get earrings and then switch out the charm. So then I'm sure that as a business owner for you, that's great because you're thinking, I can price these charms differently and then they could buy one product, change them out, and then you have them coming back for reoccurring purchases, right?
Yeah, it's been very fun to kind of test that. So I started doing, I call it the charm bar, which I know is not like groundbreaking because apparently a lot of people do this. I started the charm bar in October of 2022. So I've been about a year and a half at this point working with it. And I used to only do a bunch of the really difficult to make pieces, like the baddies and the brutals and stuff. Those take me at minimum 30 minutes to make. And so I was doing at least two markets every weekend. And I'm like, oh, this is taking a lot of time. And my brother, my husband, one of my best friends, and my sister-in-law on separate occasions were like, maybe you should make something that's less time-consuming. I'm like, no, then it's not nice to look at. And so I was just like, absolutely not. Like, I want something that's like just a huge like masterpiece to look at. I'm a very big ego. That's been a very, very big flaw throughout my business journey. But they were like, no, but really, if you want to fill your entire display with stuff, you need to have something that's going to be less time consuming to make. And so I was like, okay, well, I can do charms. I'll do that. And so I used to just sell, you know, I had a bunch of pink that I was working with this week. So I'm going to make pink stars, put them on hoops, sell them. And people were like, oh, well, do you have blue stars? I'm like, I mean, not on me, but like, I can do that.
You can make it.
And, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I'll start just doing like three different colors, whatever I'm working with that week, I'll just put on display. And they're like, well, can I get this in like a gold hoop instead of a silver hoop? I'm like, I mean, yes. They're like, huh. Maybe if I just had this out for y'all to make your own situation, I don't have to worry about putting them on backing cards, making sure I have a decent like color display option for you. Like you can literally choose the color of the rainbow, all that stuff. And so that just kind of gradually got bigger and bigger as far as like what I offer. And then someone was like, oh, well, I got I make lightning bolts that are just like a charm. It's like a full like piece with like a background on it, all that stuff. And they're like, oh, well, I have the lightning bolt earrings. Can I put these ghost charms on the lightning bolt hoops? And I'm like, yeah, they're literally the exact same hoop. And then I had another girl who was like, oh, well, I like the charms, but I don't like the large hoops. I'm going to buy the coffin earrings, for example. They're on these smaller semi hoops. Can I place the charm on there? I'm like, I've never tried it. Let's test it out. And so we took those hoops and we put them on. I'm like, would you look at that? It fits.
That's amazing. So,
yeah. So from there, I'm like, oh, it's like super versatile. And then people don't have to continuously buy a bunch of different pieces. They can just buy like one of the masterpiece pieces and then just the charms and then go to town on whatever they want to do. So yes, it's been very nice.
Newsflash, you guys, did you hear what Ray just said? You do not have to have this big idea. It's okay for you to repurpose an idea of something you've already seen out there. And I think that's what holds people up so much. Like you're saying, it wasn't new or innovative, but the fact is your people were asking for it. Your audience was like, hey, by the way, and they weren't specifically saying that, but all the interactions that you had, you were slowly starting to piece this together to say, well, why am I making it harder for myself? And why am I not just giving them the flexibility to have an experience when they show up to my booth? Which, by the way, you guys, please go to Ray's Instagram, because her booth display is beyond amazing for these vendor markets. And I think that's the thing, is you're talking about an entire experience, right? It's not just like, hey, I have a product, but I want you to experience something when you come in. You have the capability to build your own earrings and to, you know, interchange stuff. So that's amazing.
Yeah. I think another point to, or another addition to the point that you just made was, on top of it not being a new idea, I kind of was inspired by my original display of it from Disney World, a huge Fortune 500 company. They used to, I don't know if they still do, but I used to go to Disney all the time when I was a kid. And they used to have a charm bar where you could get a charm necklace or a charm bracelet. And every little store you went to had these charms on display. So like you could get whatever charms you wanted for that trip. But if you came back in a year, you could get another one to add. And I mean, again, a lot of people do charm bars now. I mean, I think I follow a couple of people who only, that is their business, just charm bar. But the fact that you don't have to be a Disney to do that idea, just make it into your own, do your own charms, whatever. But it just because it's a big company doesn't mean a small business can't do it too.
And I am curious if you and Chelsea agree with me on this. I almost think that as small business owners, we are masochist in the sense that we feel like we have to work so hard. Like when you were saying like, hey, you know, four different people in your life that knew you very well and knew your business very well were like, hey, you don't have to make it that hard. Like you could do something similar.
Are you
okay? are you just raging out to like punk music all night? You're in your depressed phase. Like what's going on? Why are you making this so difficult on yourself? But it's interesting because I do feel like we have a part of that as small business owners where we feel like in order for something to be really good, it can't be that easy. And I know Chelsea and I have made this point before where it's like, it doesn't have to be hard. Like it's still like a good product's a good product. A good service is a good service. Even if it's, there are people now that will come out and clean your trash cans, y'all. Okay. Just because you don't want to do it. Yes. You can pay people. Yeah. And this is because I'm a part of the Daniel Island Moms group. And so they have a lot of disposable income. you can pay someone to come and like literally spray your trash cans down. I think like once a month or once every couple weeks, because some people don't want to be having to do that. So
it smells awful if you don't.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's so smart. Sorry.
No, I don't do that.
I don't. And my HOA is like, you have to keep your trash can in your garage. You can't have it out. I'm like, well, my garage smells awful. Thank you.
That's why y'all just need to move to the country. There ain't no rules out here.
I don't have any rules.
Yeah, true. You don't, Chelsea. No HOA.
I want to talk about Ray. Can we talk about the spicy book series? Can we talk about, because here's the thing. I really want us to also discuss what happens when you're being authentic to who you are and sometimes people get turned off by it. What do you do? How do you navigate that? So can you talk about the spicy book series and what happened?
So I was recollecting on it. And it's such a strange thing. So it's a domino effect of things that happen. So work with me. It was Christmas time. I and a lot of other jewelry creators did a huge giveaway. And it was one of those things where it's like, anyone like tagged in this post, follow them, you'll be entered, all that fun stuff. So I gained a very big influx of followers right before Christmas. But again, this giveaway was, if you like acrylic jewelry, then you should follow all these people. And so I think that people followed me being like, oh, well, she does acrylic jewelry. Little did they know that I have a personality. but the weird thing, the weird thing with this is that one of my biggest sellers during Christmas time are my ho 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 earrings, and they are not Santa Claus.
I have a pair.
Yes.
There's ho with the E at the end of it, right?
They're fun. They're not to wear at the dinner table with your family on Christmas Eve. But
I was gonna say, unless you come from our family.
Well, I also wore them at Tim's
family
Christmas family too.
See, that's the family that I can't wear it in front of. It's like, oh, your grandmother's gonna be there. Oh, I won't do that.
I mean, I probably shouldn't have, but you know what? This is who I am, so
they gotta live with it. Like, yeah, your grandson loves me. Okay, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, but those were the earrings that I was like, hey, if you win whatever prize, this is, for me, the prize that you're going to be winning are my ho, ho, ho earrings. And you're just like, okay, so you're aware that this is not your stereotypical jewelry account. Great. I took a few days off because of Christmas after that giveaway had ended. And the first post, one of my first posts back was like, this is my book haul. What are you all reading? And one of the people responded with smut, only smut. And I'm like, okay, I have to share this response. It's too funny not to. One of my best friends had gotten me like a shopping tote that said hot girls read smut. And so I took a photo of that, shared the response to what are you reading? And I was like, LOL, love that for you. Love that for me. All that stuff. Made a joke about it. And then I got like 30 people unfollowed me because of that, presumably because of that. I'm like, well, that's weird. And then, like, a couple, because again, this was like the week in between Christmas and New Year, so it was like the very end of December. A week later, I posted, oh, Happy New Year's. My husband and I are playing a Resident Evil 2 drinking game. We're playing through the game, and we're going to get very intoxicated. Happy New Year. And I posted that. Lost a bunch of followers from that. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so I think it's just a matter of people are like, I'm following you because I want you to post about jewelry. And if you're not posting about jewelry, I don't want it, you know? But at first I was like, oh, well, I guess I won't be posting any personal stuff. And I was just like, that's stupid. Why would I stop?
The next sentence was probably F that.
Yeah. No, it absolutely was. Piss off. That's one of my stickers that I've made. That was my response. Sorry, it was a heart. That's why I did the heart.
Yeah.
So I was just like, this is stupid. Why would I change what I share about my personality online because of these random people who followed me to get something for free, realistically, don't like the personality that I'm showing. That's dumb. And the new part of my personality, the new interest that I was sharing was books at the end of the day, was spicy books. And I've gained a lot of, at least a community. I wouldn't say I've gained random followers because of it. But now I know I interact with a few members of my community now because they're like, oh my God, I didn't know you read those. What are you reading now? And we'll like go back and forth. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Stuff like that. And so because of just being authentic to what I enjoy and what I want to talk about, I've been able to connect with my community members better because of it. And so I realized from this situation of like, yeah, I might lose followers, but those aren't the followers that I want to have on my page.
I do want to point this out here as a lesson learned to every small business owner out there, because I know Chelsea and I hit this home every single time, and we're not playing when we say this, y'all. This is legit. If just because you have a large social media following does not equate to sales. Okay, so take for instance what Ray did, something that a lot of business owners out there are doing. I'm on Instagram. I have a product. I have an opportunity to team up with other business owners. We're going to do a raffle. In order to get this raffle, we're encouraging people to follow all of the accounts. That's the way that they get entered into this raffle. the downside, that's perfect because it does funnel new potential sales or customers to your page. The downside of that is that sometimes it may attract the wrong people, which is good for you for realizing what was happening and saying, no, I'm not going to change the direction I'm on or the path I'm on, because the people that are my people are my consumer, my customer, the people who are dishing out money to buy my product like the stuff I'm sharing. So I'm not going to change what I'm doing because the other people can just hit the pavement and go somewhere else, right? You don't have to follow me. So I think that's where a lot of times we get so caught up in this, like, hey, let me have 250,000 followers. Well, what great does that do you if it, we always talk about percentages. What percentage of those people are actually spending money with you, right? You want that percentage to be higher. If you have 5,000 followers and 50% of those are actually spending money with you, that's a wonderful, wonderful rate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's been the best piece of advice I've had since I started. I was listening to another podcast. Again, this was years ago. And they were like, you know, I was working, it was a social media manager. I was working with this person. They had 50,000 customer or 50,000 followers, but they month after month were not meeting their sales goals. And their sales goals made sense for all the other analytics that you push into it. It's not they're like saying, well, I have 50,000 followers. I want to make $100,000 a month. You know, like it wasn't that kind of goal. And they were like, well, it's because we're not getting any more followers on social media. And they were like, no, it's because you're not converting your followers into your customers. That is the problem. You're not, you're advertising your services to new people. You're not advertising your services in a way that would be helpful to the people who already follow you. I think that is a solid piece of advice.
I love that you said that too, because I feel like sometimes as small business owners, we can focus on, I need to get my name out there. I need to grow. I need more new people to see my stuff. Your reoccurring customers are so important. They're the ones who are the brand evangelists. They're the ones that will consistently purchase from you. So they're really the ones that are helping you make money.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're the ones who,
No, go ahead.
And they're the ones who will tell you, like, hey, you're doing a good job. Keep making that kind of stuff. Or like, hey, like, I'm not huge on that. Try it out. But like, it might not do it. Like, those are the people who know you better as a small business owner. And they're the ones who will probably give you the best feedback as to what will work in the future.
Right. Tell me when you're, because you work the vendor market circuit quite a bit. So you spend quite a bit of time on the weekends, like going out and actually setting up your display and being there all day and trying to get new people to look at your stuff. And then what percentage, this may be hard for you to do, when you're out there on any given day, what percentage are people that already know you and are stopping by to look at maybe new stuff you have? And then what percentage are completely new people that don't know anything about you?
I think the best way to answer that question will be from a market that I always do, which is Feminist Magic Market, right? If I'm doing a market that I've either done maybe once or twice, or like I have never done, it's harder to know. But I'm always in the same spot at Feminist Magic Market. I recognize a lot of people who go to Feminist Magic, all that stuff. So when it comes to a market that I consistently do, I would probably say it's a good like 40% of people are people I've either I recognize because I've seen them before, or I know that they've bought from me before. And then the other 60% are maybe, I'll say 30% of that 60. So 40% definitely people I recognize, new or repeat shoppers. 30% are probably people that have been at the market before, but haven't shopped with me. Now they're shopping with me. And then the other 30% are brand new. That's probably the spread. When it comes to something like Walmart, which I'll probably do half of the time that they have an event, I would probably say it's a good like 50-50, like 50% are, 70-30. I was confusing my two markets, 70-30. 30% are reshoppers or repeat shoppers. 70% are new people. So I think there's something to say about frequency as far as if you're doing a market all the time or not doing a market all the time. I think something like a Walmart or Feminist Magic, when it's quarterly, you don't, as a shopper, can't go to it all the time. You'll probably be going as many times as you have the opportunity to go. So as a vendor, it's easier to like recognize new versus old people. But if it's something that is like a farmer's market where you're going every single week, you'll probably see a lot of return people that aren't shopping with you because it's like, well, I saw you last week. Like, what different stuff would you actually have? So I hope that answered the question.
It did.
Okay.
I will say I could not go to Walmart this past, was it this past weekend or the weekend after that?
It was this past weekend.
Yeah. Well, it was more of a, I had to be a big girl and have a conversation with myself and say, Chelsea, you do not have money to go to Walmart, so you're not going this time. It's just going to make you sad that you can't purchase things. So I just didn't go.
Oh my God.
I'm proud that you're being a big girl. I feel like that was also a little shade to your employer. Pay me more money.
No, it was more shade to Tim, if anything. Yeah. He made me spend $200 on plants.
On plants?
Well, that's
plants. Yeah.
That's a very big girl investment.
Tim and I have like an actual like legit garden. Like, we have a lot of bushes and a lot of like vegetables and fruits and stuff like that. We purchased like a tangerine tree that was $50 right there. So like, it was a big girl purchase. It was worth the money. It still was a lot of money though. So,
but think of all the tangerines you're gonna eat.
Yeah,
I hope so. I do want to ask Ray, when you started out, when you were first getting. Going around all the markets and stuff like that, were you actively trying to build a community or did it just kind of happen?
It just kind of happened, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to build a community online. And so obviously one of the things that you want to happen at a market is like, follow me online. But for the most part, I can have more extensive conversations. It's hard to have conversation when it's really just me talking and hoping that it goes out and people are like, yeah, I like this. It's easier to kind of show my personality and stuff like that, because at markets, especially if it's at the end of the market, I'm like, my brain is deteriorated. Exactly. Yeah. I'm just, I want to have a good conversation with this person, but I can't, you know, like my social meter out. I would definitely say it kind of more so came naturally than attempting to do it. I do make a point of not, I mean, this kind of goes back to what we were saying about your work persona versus your normal persona. I try my best to like merge those, because I do think I feel a little bit more of my professional persona coming out when I'm selling like at a market than I do just like how we're talking now or on Instagram. I try and have actual legitimate conversations with people and not just be like, please give me your money. You know, like that's weird. I don't like feeling like I'm being sold to. So I'm not going to do the same thing in return. Right. I'm going to inform people of like, this is what you're looking at. If you have an allergy, this is what you're looking at. Also, you know, I have kind of a repeated couple of sentences that I'll say to every single person who comes to my booth. But I don't want to feel inauthentic, basically, and realize that like these are actual humans who are taking their time to look at my stuff and hear what I have to say. So I'm not going to be like, anyway, on to the next one. You know, I'm going to actually like, if I can have a conversation with you, have that conversation.
I do want to go back to you saying that it's harder to have a two-way conversation on social media. I think you do a great job with conversational marketing, specifically on your stories. I mean, you'll share things that you're thinking about doing or working on. You'll give people the option to send you a message and be like, hey, this is how I feel about that. Like, you ask for people's honest opinions. You do polls, stuff like that. Like, I think you're very good at bringing in your community and allowing them to talk to you and give you their opinions. I know I do it all the time. So,
but I do appreciate that. That really is, I mean, again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier about if you build this community, it'll give you more of an idea of like what people like you want to see and what they don't think will do well. And if you listen to them, then you're as a business, you're going to get better. I also technically do that because the only person who I have 24/7 access to is my husband, and he will lose his mind if I'm like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Or if it's color, he's colorblind. That doesn't help. I can't tell you the amount of times I've come out of my office and I'm like, here's the new idea. And he's like, I don't get it. I'm like, God, you're not the person I need to talk to. Instagram, here we go. So that's why I do that so frequently, because I do have that kind of in the back of my head of like, will people like this? I hope they will. But on a third flip side, I do it sometimes. I'm like, I know you bitches are going to like it. Here you go. Like,
she's like, just boost my ego a little bit. Just tell me you like it. I already know you will. But I do want to put a big asterisk here, because everything you just said, Chelsea, yes. Ray, you confirmed it. Yes. I'm going to add one extra thing here and say, people can sniff out when you guys are fake and inauthentic about this, because the one thing that sets Ray apart is that not only does she ask for your feedback, but you actively, when you follow her, you actively see her applying that feedback in some areas. Now, she doesn't do it all the time, but because it's her business ultimately, but you see her like kind of following up to say like, well, hey, you guys wanted this. This is what I'm giving you, right? And so if you're doing it just for the engagement, people are going to know. They're going to know. Okay. So don't do it. Like, I think that's where, you know, for me, at the Seasoned Marketer, bringing Chelsea on board was one of the best things I could do, because she's able to devote that time and to be the face of it and to carry on those conversations where like, I'm just buttoned up. That's how I am. And I'm trying really hard not to be, y'all. Okay. But it's much more of a stretch for me than having her, because she's got a personality like you, where you guys are just, I feel like you're much more comfortable. You show up naturally, right? So I think just word to the wise, y'all, don't be doing it for engagement. If you're going to ask for feedback and stuff, actually try to show people, your community, that you're using that feedback for something.
Yeah, that's really at the core of conversational marketing. It's a two-way conversation that both of you need to be working on. Yes.
No, but I want to say this, because social media has just got us all jacked up. Can we just say that out loud? Because there is that reel. I don't know if you guys have seen this reel where people, they were clipping together pieces. So they would have a mic in front of them, like they were on a podcast pretending to do, and then they would shoot the camera angle. And I'm like, liar, you're not on a podcast right now. Like, just shoot it, you know, front facing it or whatever. I don't know why people are like this.
I think it's they feel like if they have something to say, and they, if it's put in the form of a podcast, it'll be taken more seriously, or it'll be more likely to go viral. I don't, you're right. Social media has really messed with our minds.
Which, speaking of, that leads me right into this next question I have for you, because I know Chelsea, you had mentioned the word burnout earlier. And
yes, I
have. A recent reel, I mean, like, this was two reels ago, you posted this, Ray. It was a reel where you were very transparent about what you called, quote unquote, seasonal depression and feeling uninspired to create. And so the reel was basically like, I'm coming awake again, right? After months of like not feeling like I was inspired to create something. Was it, for one, was it hard for you to, because I'm assuming you were being serious about that. You were just not feeling inspired. So was it hard for you to make the decision to actually share that with your community, or did you feel okay? And then also, what do you do to pull yourself out of that? Because you have a small business to run now.
I felt comfortable sharing that, because, and this is something I wanted to touch on while we were talking about this, so great timing. Being authentic to even the bad things that are going on, the bad things that are going on in your life, makes everyone else be like, oh, like, I do that too. I'm not alone in it, all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of the influencers, other just small business owners that I follow, even some of the celebrities that I follow on my personal time, like being able to kind of learn from them, be like, oh, I am not crazy for feeling the way I'm feeling. It's so nice to know that, and it's refreshing to know that other people feel that way. And so if you ignore that part of everything, you're just making people feel even worse about themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And so actually one of my business friends, her business used to be Amanda Made. Now it's Hey Indie Disco. It's owned by Amanda. She used to do only clay jewelry, but she's doing like clay jewelry, other fun kind of like pops of color, like wall art and stuff like that. Mm. She's rebranded herself, taken some time off and coming back. But she's been super open about like, hey, like this has been my journey. She's super happy a lot of the times, but sometimes she's like, hey, like I felt like absolute garbage today. This is how it affected me mentally. I couldn't do X, Y, and Z. I know tomorrow is a new day. I'm going to try a new day. Right. And so I think being that open and somewhat vulnerable is good because it makes other people realize like, I'm not alone. I have other people to talk to about this if I want to. And again, it goes back to feeling less crazy, for lack of a better word.
Well, and it's also shooting. Here's the thing is like, I think when you're building a community, because you're so invested in the community you've built, right? So like people feel like it's their journey too. If they've known you, like Chelsea, I know part of the reason that like she loves your brand so much is because she feels like you're her girl. Like, oh, you know, she's my people, right? Like if someone, this whole controversy with all that, I remember her calling me one day and she's like, do you know what's going on? I'm like, no, like I haven't been on Instagram
with the spicy
today.
Book thing?
Yeah. But so it feels like if someone's out with, you know, pickets to pick on you, these people are showing up to say, no, you will not have anything bad to say about the brand we love. But showing that side, I think gives them a realistic perspective of as humans, what we're experiencing. Because if you were to only show up and show them the really nice aesthetic stuff, well, then they're missing half of what you're doing during the day, which is as a small business owner, putting out fires, looking at, you know, all this stuff. So I think it's really, it's good because you're teaching us how that community is being built. It's not just the polished stuff, but it's like, hey, let them in a little because they want that honest relationship.
I think that's one of the plus sides to being a small business and being the face of the business is not having to be a Disney. I keep going back to them. It's on the top of my mind because of the stinking Funko Pops.
Sorry, you're welcome.
But you know, they have to go through all these PR related thoughts and just like, oh, like how is this going to come across? We don't want to say anything about this. We don't want to say anything about that. As a small business, you'd be like, no, like this is what I make. You're looking at it because it's from my brain. The other part of my brain is what comes out of my mouth and what I do. And so you have more comfort being open in that way. And I think with social media in particular, you have this kind of parasocial relationship with a lot of people that you follow. Like, I know way too many things about my like favorite like Twitch streamers and stuff like that. I am very awkward in person. And so my husband's like, well, what if you like ran into this person? Would you like, hey, can I get a photo with you? I'd be like, absolutely not. I don't want to talk to them. No, but I could be like, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to your dog, you know, like in the back of my head, or like, I'll like respond in the chat or whatever, be like, oh man, that sucks. Never in a million years would I actually talk to them in real life.
I do want to bring up here, it's pretty funny that Chelsea wears her stalker hat, she waves that stalker flag very proudly. Okay. Like she told you she stalked the guy from Arlie. She stalks you. Like, I mean, she's just fine with it. So my stalker moment, I went to a YouTube convention back in October and there's this girl that I follow. Shout out to Jessica Stansberry. She shares like, she tells you how to grow a business online and all this stuff. So she does courses. Well, she's got a pretty big following on YouTube. And her thing is she's from Tennessee. And so one of the things, or that's where she lives right now. And one of the things she says is she has a very pronounced accent where it's like, hey, y'all, or she's got this intro. So when I went to this YouTube convention, we're in this big room, tons of people, and you're allowed to go up to the mic and form a line and ask questions. The second I couldn't see her, but the second I heard her voice, I was like, that's Jessica Stansberry. So what do? I wait till she comes down this aisle and I go up to her and I grab her. I don't just approach her. I grab her arm and I'm just like, I just want to say that I follow your YouTube.
I love you so much.
Yeah, I love you so much. But it was funny because she's just like, and it's something, like you said, though, is you've never met these people, but yet somehow they are so transparent and they've done such a good job of showing up consistently that you're like, wow, I feel like if I did meet you, we would be instant friends.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, I feel like I know you in this strange way, which is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that like you shouldn't be like, hey, I'm a huge fan.
Well,
of
please
your
work. Just don't touch people, y'all, because you don't know how people are going to react. Obviously, I didn't get punched in the face, which was great. But one day this is going to catch up to me. Yeah. Please get off of me.
I just want to say, like, Vivian, I know you are not coming after me about my stalker moments. Like, you followed Darius Rucker through a stadium.
Halfway through the stadium, yes. So, and in the picture, Ray, I want you to know, because my best friend really loves him and wanted a picture, but they were trying to be so low-key because they didn't want a crowd to form. So his bodyguards, I was like, is that Darius Rucker? And the guy's like, mm-mm. I'm like, no, I think it is. And he's like, mm-mm. Like, he wanted me to go away. It's like, come on, man. So I did follow them half a stadium. But in the picture, and I'm going to share this with you, Ray, my best friend is standing next to him. He's like in between us. And I have my hand. You could see my hand squeezing his shoulder. Like, I'm keeping him in place. I was like,
don't move
problems. Don't move. You're going to take this picture. Because he finally okay, let's do it really fast.
Oh my God.
See, I only followed Arlie down the street a little bit. And then I went, Arlie. And he turned around. And I was like, I knew it. So it's fine.
See, I am so different from y'all. It's crazy. I have two different instances. One was an actual meet and greet where you're like supposed to be like, hey, I'm a fan of yours. And I still couldn't even get that up.
Who was it?
Barry Jenkins. There's a movie that won Best Picture of the Year a few years ago called Moonlight. Okay. So he's a director. And so he went to the same college that I went to, and I worked at the on-campus movie theater. So he was doing like a small meet and greet with the staff because it was like shown there, like on his like Oscar circuit, all that stuff. And I'll send you all the photo. There's a picture. He put his arm around me in the group and I'm like, oh, like this is so cool. But instead of like putting my arm on the other side of him, like a buddy thing, I'm like cringing. I'm like, oh, I can't be touching you. You're an Oscar winning director. No. There's that. One of the guitarists for A Day to Remember, one of my favorite, in fact, both of these posters are A Day to Remember posters. Love A Day to Remember. They're from the Orlando area, like they live there. And I know this. I know what kind of car the man drives because I've seen him so many times in Orlando, which is so creepy to me. I'm like, I should know this.
Spit out his license plate number.
Yeah. I didn't memorize that, but I do know what bumper stickers he has. We were at a vegan cafe and his wife owns one of the vegan eateries in Orlando. And this vegan cafe has never been really busy. Like, they're very small, maybe like 5 tables in the cafe. Most people get their food to go and they're out. But my husband and I, we were sitting there and I look up and I'm like, oh no, that's the guy. And like, I didn't have to say that's the guy. My husband knows exactly who it is. I was like, that's Neil Westphal. Oh, that's his wife. Oh, that's their child. I shouldn't say anything. And my husband's like, no, go ask for their photo. I'm like, they're literally eating a meal with their newborn baby. No, absolutely not. And he was like, go do it or I'll do it. I was like, if you do that right now, I will divorce you. Like, don't do it. And he was like, well, like maybe on his way out, you can be like, hey, because we were going to see them at a show. in a couple of days after. He was like, hey, just on his way out, she's like, hey, I'm excited to see your set. He's like, I'm like, no.
I would even say that.
Mm-mm. I'm like, I'm going to act like I have no idea who this man is. Just some random tattooed dude walking past me. That's what's happening. So yeah.
No.
You could have had a picture with like them in the middle of like their vegan quesadilla, right? Like.
Yeah, no, I can't. I think for me, it really is that parasocial thing of like, I could in some weird reality, I could be friends with a guitarist to a Data Remember. I can't, realistically, I can't. But in the back of my head, I'm like, no, we're buds in this weird reality. And if I'm like fangirling over him, we'll never be friends.
So, I got to be respectful, right?
Yeah.
Because we're buds.
Yeah. I just went way on a tangent. I'm so sorry.
No, I just feel like it's no, funny it's because fine. I think to Chelsea's point, for me, it's like the opposite. It's like when I really want something, I'm like, I will go out of my way just for that split second to have like maybe 10 seconds of courage to do whatever. And I remember this so specifically with that, with Darius Rucker in particular. My best friend was like, because she's the sweetest thing. She levels me out, right? So she's like, no, it's okay. They said no. And then afterwards, when we got the picture and all that, and she goes, girl, she's like, I always forget how persistent you are. And I'm like, man, but it's so it's kind of like the small business thing where I tell you that when I said earlier, I feel like I have to protect the things that I truly want to happen, or like I will. My biggest thing is the biggest strength that I have as a person is persistence. So even if it's not working for me in 7 years, I'm going to make it work in 10. Like it's going to happen at some point, right? So I do think I will follow you halfway through a stadium if I want a picture with you.
Dang it, I will. I will do it.
So I have one more question for you, Ray. I want to know, how do you decide, and I think you might have touched on this a little bit in our earlier conversation, but how do you decide, okay, these are my most popular earrings, I'm going to keep making them, or do you go, you know what, I'm personally tired of making these, I'm going to move on? Like, how do you decide what products are worth your time and what products are in your mind that have to be created?
I think it's obviously, you have to look at sales, right? That goes back to the Grolix earrings I was talking about. Like, I loved those. No one understood them. And there's not really a way to be like, oh, if you want to say the F word, here you go. You know, like, couldn't do that. So I was just like, okay, well, I still have my no hearts. Let's get rid of this. Let's move on. As far as, like, learning what I do want to make and what I don't want to make, like I said, I follow a lot of other jewelry makers. And if someone said, I had a whole collection. Here's a great, I had a whole collection. I was going to call it Tutti Frutti. I was going to make a bunch of fruit related earrings. I like had the ideas like typed down on my notes app. And then like 2 days later, a friend of mine made a fruit collection. It was strawberries, bananas. And she did a great job. I'm just like, I could make that. There's already like this already exists, and she lives in North Carolina. It's not like it's some random person who lives like halfway across country. Like realistically, the people shopping with me could easily shop with her. Why would I make basically the same things if they're already being done and doing it very well? And so it's like, okay, well, I have these other 10 ideas of collections listed. I'm just going to focus on one of those instead. And sometimes if I'm in the middle of making it, I'll still do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Other times I'm just like, I wasn't fully invested in it. If I see someone else doing it, whatever. If I see someone else making something similar, I'll be like, okay, well, what can I change to turn it into my own? Like my Bite Me design. Those used to be an earring design before they were turned into a compact. And I was like, well, I like the phrase Bite Me. I saw it all over my Pinterest at one point around Valentine's Day. I'm like, I really like that phrase. There are a bunch of other people who make hearts that say Bite Me in it. I'm like, well, what can I do to turn it into my own? Put double horns on it. That's the answer.
Did you ever have some that had fangs on it? What am I thinking that had fangs?
I make like vampire lips.
Okay.
Yeah, they're vampire lips with blood drippings from them, which are also very fun. I love that. But like also there are going to be other people who make vampire lip earrings, because first of all, you have Rocky Horror, so lip things are already fun during Halloween time. The next step in the creative process is like, oh, thanks, boom, they're vampire lips. But again, to make it my own, I'm like, okay, well, this is my own drawing of vampire lips. I want to make them big and loud. What if I put blood drips on them? I had another design, similar size, called my Raining Pride. They're little rainbows with like hearts hanging from them. Mm-hmm. I was like, what if, and those were my best sellers at one point. I was like, what if I like made the vampire lips into like a Halloween version of the rainbows? I'm like, okay, well, I'll do three strands of blood dripping from them, similar to how the rainbows are. So it's just working with what you know has worked in the past, working with motifs that you know are popular amongst other creatives, and turning it into something that's your own and doing something different with it that other people don't do or can't do, depending on what they're working on.
It's very interesting to me because I always feel like marketing is, it's very much a science, like it's backed by data, but it's also an art form, because what you just said, if I heard you correctly, is, you know, the purpose of marketing is to stand out, but yet it doesn't mean that if someone's creating something, like the idea doesn't have to be original. So like Ray just said, for you guys listening, if it's not an original idea, figure out a way or an element to where you could turn it into something that would fit your brand and that would make sense for your target audience. I think that's where that art part of it kind of comes in, where you're like, okay, I need to set myself apart, but yet it doesn't have to be some new innovative thing. I can take something that's out there and just kind of, you know, put my spin in my version on it.
I think that's what helped with being a graphic designer too, because, and it goes into marketing. I worked for marketing firms, so I fully understand the direct correlation here. But graphic design isn't only an art. It's very creative, but there's a lot of logistics behind it, you know. And I've tried explaining this to my friends who solely use Canva, and they're like, we're graphic designers. I won't get into my snobbery behind that. But I'm like, you know, if you logistically, the brain can only comprehend certain aspects of a design, right? So if you don't have any margins around a big block of text, your brain's going to be overwhelmed and they're just not going to read it. They're going to be like, okay, that's fuzz. I'm just going to scroll past it, right? You have to be logistical and also make it pretty, which goes to marketing. You have to make something that is fun and eye-catching, but also something that people will spend their money on and not just some random conglomeration of rainbow, you know?
Yeah. Well, and just so you guys know what kind of an exciting life I live, one of my favorite accounts on Instagram is actually a girl who does, she kind of does like logos. She's a graphic designer by trade. And so she helps companies redesign their logos. And you watch her, she films herself from the computer doing from A to Z, right? So the idea that she sketches out, how she lays it in, she's not using InDesign, she's Illustrator, right? Yeah, how she lays it out in Illustrator and how it morphs over time and how she can't make some elements work and it just didn't look right. And so in my head, that's the stuff that I love seeing that process, because to your point, it's one of those things where there are some hard truths to the way your eye takes things in. So you kind of have a box, but that box isn't exactly square. You can distort it a little bit. So that's what I like doing in my spare time.
I love those accounts. I follow. I'm with you, girl. I love them.
I'm always like, I wish my brain worked like that.
I love when you're just like, how did you sketch that many designs? What? Oh my God. Like, I don't even do that. Like, it's a whole page. Or just like every inch is filled with ideas. I'm like, your mind is insane in a good way.
And a lot of times what I find too, which I'm sure you experience this with, you know, with whether you're doing like the compacts or the earrings and stuff, but what starts off as her sketch, her idea at the beginning morphs. And so if you were to compare it to what it looked like at the very beginning, it usually is not exactly like she's having to improvise as she goes, and then it ends up being better than what she initially thought. But I'm curious, because I know you had given us a little teaser there. Do you want to share anything about what potentially could be coming down the pipeline from the design demon. What do you want to tell us about it?
I mean, I can't. I've been meaning to implement this for literally a month now, and I've just been dragging my feet. Like, I'm hiding it with my chair, but I have, like, little samples of what I'm trying to do with them. But basically, and again, this goes back to what I was saying about doing something different or putting your own spin on it. In a way, it goes back to that. Jewelry is very accessible as far as how to start a small business and all that stuff. I love making jewelry. I love the community of jewelry makers I've met. I love the community I have made from making jewelry. I'm not going to stop making jewelry. But when you're applying to markets or when you go to markets, they'll be like, oh, it's an, I've heard this comment. Oh, it's more earrings. We don't need to look. Hmm. Oh, okay. that's fine. I've spent a lot of money on a couple of markets where it's like I'm not being hyperbolic, every other vendor was a jewelry vendor. And you're just like, okay, there's only so many people that we can outfit with our stuff. And so I want to start being more of like a lifestyle brand, I guess, for lack of a better term. I truly don't know like how to define it. But imagine like a boutique where I'm making everything instead of sourcing it. And so the next thing is glassware. It's like little iced coffee kind of cans, instead of the can shaped glasses, and then like the hot coffee and like hot chocolate clear glasses. I realized that at least what I'm starting off with is just kind of stuff that I already have either as big earring designs or sticker designs that can be kind of expanded upon, turning those into things to put on the glasses to customize and personalize the glassware. So I'm trying to expand to more options for people, because that's another thing. It's like my husband, he's like, you're doing a great job, sweetie. You know, he's like, these are cool designs. He literally can't wear them. But he can drink from a glass, you know. So on top of expanding what I make, still having my designs at the end of the day on something. I'm not just a jewelry vendor anymore. So someone who is running a market can be like, oh, well, they're like a boutique, whatever. But I'm also expanding my potential customer base as a, you know, you might not like jewelry, you might not wear jewelry, but if you appreciate my art, you can now have it on glassware. So that's my next step of many.
That is awesome. And I'll tell you, I think for what I absolutely love about that is, I was listening to something earlier today, and the gentleman was saying that a lot of people have a hard time growing on social media because they don't make the connection in knowing that people get invested in brands when they know the person behind the brand, right? So it's no longer about the product or service, but it's the person. You're invested, like we said, in your journey and also in what you're doing and the type of person that you are. And I think for the design demon, it's weird because I know you do earrings and jewelry, but I guess your name says it, design, right? And so for me, I guess maybe in my head, I've always thought that it's more about the design than it is about the actual product. And the products are fabulous, but like you said, you could convert that into, you know, not the cups, but the glassware and all of that. So that is awesome. I'm so excited to see that come to fruition.
Thank you. And I mean, that's kind of what the compacts ended up being, was something new, but the correlation is still there of like, oh, well, you know, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror when you're putting on earrings and stuff like that. But even like pushing the whole idea of other designs that can be used other places, right? The cherry mirror, those were earrings. The bite me mirror, those were earrings. I have a compact that has a knife on it. That was originally going to be a design for a necklace, was like, this makes more sense as a comeback.
I would vote for you need to do something with your smut thing, because I literally, I've been reading books like that since I was like 12 years old. I think because mom never knew what I was checking out at the library, but it was, so it's still my guilty pleasure, right? But I do think that you have a whole array of people out there that feel the same way, right?
Yeah. And again, that goes back to the polls. I had three different book themed glassware designs, and I was like, these are awesome. And then like there was one that everyone was like, no, make that one. Don't make that one. It just was it was I like my coffee icy and my books spicy, which I again did not come up with that phrasing. I saw it on like a shirt or something. I was just like, it's literally an iced glass, and I can turn that phrase into however I want it to look. I like working with typography. I like making little icons. So boom. Yeah.
Well, consider one of those sold, because I will definitely be buying that one.
Like that, those two things, same. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that wraps up the conversation. I want to say thank you, Ray. It's been wonderful having you on. Hopefully we can have you on for another episode. Is there anything you want to share? How can people find you? Anything you want to plug?
I am at The Design Diva on all socials. I don't, not really anything that I want to plug other than the little nuggets I've left in the episode, but
and y'all, the is very important to The Design Diva, right? So if you're on Instagram, search her under The Design Diva.
Indeed, I am the one and only. Unfortunately, that's not one and only, but that's why the is there. But yeah,
that's why. And
check out Feminist Magic Market. That is my other business, if you will. So yeah, those are the two plugs that I will give you. But thank you for having me.
Great.
Yeah, yes, and
it's been wonderful.
And just so you know, you always have an open invitation to come on here. If you ever find a topic that you want to talk about, just ping us. And open invitation, you could come on anytime. I think we appreciate your transparency, and also you giving us the nitty gritty on the good stuff, the bad stuff, the stuff that you toyed with and didn't work out so well. And so I think those are the conversations that we want to be having here on the SOB Marketing Podcast. So you guys, please be sure that you share this episode and you go check out all of Ray's soon to be outside of jewelry, but for right now, compacts, jewelry, all that stuff. Her designs are by far fun and different, and not just for the emo girls like Chelsea. They're for everybody.
Yeah. And go be the best SOB you can be.